our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Give us grace to love one another, to follow in the way of his commandments, and to share his risen life with all the world. For he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the children's sermon. If you two guys move aside a little bit and make room for Vicar Thomas right in there. And kids, come around. Come around this way. There you go. Come around this way so you can see the Vicar. Hold on to that.
Good morning. How are you? Doing all right? Who here has ever played Red Rover? Anybody ever played Red Rover? No? Well, it's a game where you all link your arms together and you create a border wall so that the other team on the other side who's also doing that will come and try and send their people over, and you'll say, somebody, somebody, come on over, Red Rover, somebody, come on over. And they try to break through your wall. And if you want to win, what you do is you hold your arms together and you keep them out. Eventually somebody probably gets through, it's really pretty tiring. And then you integrate them into your wall and try to help hold them up again. So what other things can we make walls out of other than humans? Yeah.
Bricks.
Bricks. Yeah.
Bricks.
Cement. What else? Rocks. You can make them out of rocks.
Sticks.
Wood. You can make them out of wood.
It was going
to
be wood.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. The other wood. More wood.
Obsidian.
Obsidian. That'd be a really good one. Really pretty wall. Yeah. Clay. So all of these things, they're really, really strong. Glass, too.
Okay, that immediately break walls.
Sometimes. So some of these things are a little bit stronger. Are humans pretty good in terms of being strong to make a wall? Do you think a wall? Sometimes. Sometimes they are, right? Right. Are they like bricks, though?
No.
No, because bricks are a little bit stronger than that, right?
Glass?
Maybe sometimes. Sometimes a little fragile, you know? So, but ultimately, yeah, you know, a little bit weak there. So in order to play Red Rover, in order to build a wall, do you think a stronger wall would be better or one to fall down?
Stronger.
Right. This is why we need Jesus a lot of the time, because a lot of the time we are not so strong. And so Jesus comes and strengthens us, gives us his love, and we can love other people. We link arms with other people in the same way. And that way we can build a stronger wall. So let's pray for that. Let's pray that we can have some strength in Jesus, okay? Dear Lord Jesus, we ask you to strengthen us so that all the forces that want to tear us apart can never break through. Help us so much that we can be stronger even when we are feeling weak. This we pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm a wall with you.
You can be a wall for a little while there. Yeah, there we go. Very strong. So you can go and try playing that game. We'll hear more about that. So off you go. Well, yeah.
A reading from Acts. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him, and the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died. Word of God, word of life. Let us sing together hymn 624. Jesus, still lead on. Our reading is from 1 Peter. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
According to John,
glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can you say you know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. If you do not, then believe in me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O. Have you heard about this new trend in housing called the tiny house movement? Yeah, people are giving up their big houses for these tiny houses, you know, going from multiple bedrooms, multiple bathrooms, a separate room for a living room and a family room or a den, and they are moving into these tiny houses, some of them less than 100 square feet. It's pretty small. And they're portable. So if you wanted to live in San Diego in the summertime and in Arizona in the wintertime, you could just take your house. Kind of like being a tortoise, I think. The thing about the people who are promoting this idea, they're trying now to come up with all kinds of minimizing furniture and way to live. So maybe your bed is up above and you have a lat like a berth in a train where you have a little ladder that you have to climb up onto your bed. But the most interesting one that I saw was a television that sunk down into the floor. It went down to the floor, and then you swiveled it, and it became a table. So that was your dinner table. And then when you clear everything off, I don't know where you'd put it because there's no cupboards, but then it comes up and then you have your TV. Family groups and communities are building their little tiny houses around, and then they're sharing the front porch becomes the courtyard, and people are living in community, but they all have their own tiny house. Well, before tiny houses were a trend, I met Lawrence and his tiny house. Well, not so much a house, more like a shed. On my first visit to this church member's place, he invited me in and said, "Let me show you around my house." Well, I could take it all in without even turning my head. It was a very interesting place. There was a potbelly stove right in the middle of the room. And by that, I mean it was against the back wall. On this side, so that was that wall. The door is behind me, no windows. On this side, there was a shelf built onto the wall, and that was the bed. And that's where Lawrence was sitting. On this side, there was a shelf. I think it was about the same height. It was piled with stuff. That was everything storage. And he said he was very proud of his ceiling fan. So he had a ceiling fan, no electricity and no plumbing in this place, but he had a ceiling fan that worked by his ingenious post, and then outside on the top, he had cut Coke cans in half lengthwise to make a wind, to catch the wind, and the wind turned that and it turned his ceiling fan, and then he had a little catch on it that he could stop it. He was very proud of his ceiling fan. Lawrence was a character, and maybe in other sermons you have heard me tell stories of Lawrence before. I always enjoyed going to visit him. He had some mobility issues, so he couldn't get to church, especially when it was cold. He had a bike that he rode, three-wheel bike. And so he could get around in the summertime, but not in the cold and not in the snow. And so I was often visiting Lawrence, taking him communion. And he would open his house, want to have me come in. He would offer me a place to sit, which means that he brushed off the stump that he had next to the potbelly stove, and he always had a treat for me, usually a candy bar or a piece of chocolate, dusty and gray with age, that I would take and tell him, "I'm going to save this for later because I don't really want to eat this candy right now, but I'm going to save it for later." So that would go into my pocket. Don't think I ever ate anything then. And I always said I'm fine when he offered me a beverage. No idea what it was. It was in a plastic container, and it was kind of an orangey gray color. And I would always, you know, "No, thank you, I'm fine. I'm not thirsty, I don't need anything." He had a lot of issues, but one thing he did not lack was hospitality. He had a tiny house, but he had a huge heart for hospitality. Well, today's reading from John's Gospel portrays something exactly opposite of the tiny house. In the translation that we heard from the New Revised Standard Version, verse 2 says, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places." But I like, for the sake of where I'm going with my sermon, I really like the idea of, from the Common English Bible, verse 2 reads, "My Father's house has room to spare." There's nothing tiny about God's house. There is room for everyone. And we can be sure that Jesus is not talking about a hotel where we can reserve a reservation on hotels.com. Jesus takes the conversation from place to relationship, from a place to stay, a room, to a way to live, a way to love. I prepare a place for you, and I will come again and take you to myself so that where I am, there you also may be. Not so much a place to be, but how to be. Sounds so wonderful. Heavenly. That's where I want a reservation. That's the place where we want to go. And that's part of the promise that Jesus is making to the disciples. But the other part of the promise is his answer to Thomas when he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Indeed, we are promised that eternal life, but we are promised as well that we are already experiencing that hospitality of God. We are already standing in that place that Jesus has prepared for us. We are already housed and fed and cared for by God. But often this life doesn't feel all that heavenly. Sometimes it's really hard to find a welcome in this world. And if we truly believed that God is so very much with us, wouldn't this world be a different place? If we truly believed that God's house has room for everybody, wouldn't this world be a different place? If we truly believed that God is so very much with us, if our daily walk with Jesus was in Jesus' way, wouldn't it be more perfect, more heavenly in this world, for the rest of the world, for the others, as well as for ourselves? The disciples' hearts were troubled. And so are ours. And so the questions begin. Have you ever noticed that when we're struggling with something, struggling to make sense about something, or when we feel overwhelmed by circumstances, we turn to questions. Why is this happening? Who is behind this circumstance or incident? Why did she die so young? Why don't you love me anymore? Why did my cancer come back? Questions. The disciples had questions. When Jesus said, you know the place where I'm going, Thomas replies quite bluntly, Lord, we don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus says that he is the way and the truth and the life, and that anyone who knows him knows the Father. Thomas had questions. What's the way? Philip had questions. You know, Philip only gets a few recorded utterances in the Bible, and two of the three times that we hear from Philip, he's talking about enough. The first time we hear from Philip saying enough is when Jesus is teaching and there's a crowd of people, 5,000 maybe, a crowd of people, and Jesus says, they look hungry, Philip, go get them something to eat. And Philip says, what? We don't have enough money to buy bread for all of these people. And there certainly isn't enough here. There's not enough. And here in this passage, Philip again is concerned about enough, but now on the other side, show us the Father, and that's enough. Jesus says, yeah, well, you've been seeing the Father, because if you see me, you see the Father. If you see me, you will be able to do the works of the Father. And when I'm gone, you'll be able to do. You can continue. If you do my works, because that's the Father's work. We are one. The Father and I are one. You know, Jesus doesn't really answer the question. doesn't answer Thomas's question, doesn't really answer Philip's question, but he offers himself. Look at me. That's an answer. Sometimes our why questions seem to go unanswered, but if we listen carefully, we can hear. We hear less of why and more of who. Less explanation, more relation. Jesus is the one who loves the disciples and loves us. Jesus makes it clear that God is love, that he is the one that the disciples know, and in that knowing can trust and can love. Disciples then and disciples now. He is the one who will do that. He is the way and the truth and the life. And when we ask, all that we need is provided. Sometimes we want answers, but what we really need is relationship. There are a lot of unanswered questions in our life, and especially in our life of faith. Whenever our questions, whatever our doubts, whatever the things and the people that are unknowns for us, Jesus still makes himself available for us. Jesus offers himself for us, inviting us into a relationship that may not answer our questions, but always, always invites us into a relationship. And it is there, in our baptism, in that relationship with God, that we find life, that we find abundant life, always enough life, always room and welcome life, always enough for us and for the world. We live in Jesus' way, if we are in that relationship with Jesus. Now, at the end of the gospel, it says, give me your bulletin, please. At the end, the last line of the gospel, I think sometimes we get caught on that. It says, I do whatever you ask. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Well, we grab a hold of that and say, wow, this sounds like quite a deal, huh? All I have to do is ask God in Jesus' name, and whatever, Jesus said it, whatever you ask for in my name, I will do it. But we have to read the little part, you know, where does he come from with that? What he's saying is, because the Father is in Jesus, that when we ask for things to enable us to live like Jesus, God will do that for us. God will give us what we need in order to do what Jesus has been doing. God will give us what we need to be Jesus' hands and hearts and feet in this world. Jesus will give us whatever we need in order to bring Jesus to the world. And that is room enough for all, welcome enough for all, welcome for everyone. Amen.